everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the DVD head.
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, and running role-playing games, where we share our thoughts with you. Where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. Sorry. A little sloppy. We've been out of the studio for a while.
I really threw him off with that one.
Yeah. I still don't know what it means. Now I do. I just got it. But you guys don't know it yet, because he hasn't told you what we're talking about tonight. Ready, go.
Well, Cosmo, today we're talking about the deleted scenes.
Yes.
Which you can find on DVDs. Yes.
They were invented for DVDs.
I've been seeing a lot of fucking shit on, like, Twitters about, like, oh, streaming culture killed deleted scenes and special features and stuff like that. Anyways.
I mean, it kind of did. I just, like,
it's not wrong, but, like, why do we suddenly care about it? Also, you can find that stuff elsewhere. Anyways, okay.
A lot of streaming services have that shit.
Yes. What happens to all your Game Master ideas that could have been but never were? Don't throw them away, because you can reuse them and stuff. We be talking about that. Signposts.
Yeah. Okay. So, first thing, we're going to talk about note-taking, and that's going to dovetail probably into some other stuff we've talked about recently. Then we're going to talk about reusing content that you have to cut, turning around and reusing it in the same adventure, just pushing it to later, putting it somewhere else, or reusing it somewhere completely different because it's a good idea and you don't want to waste it. And then a last option, to not actually use it for play, but use it for something else. And we think all of these are fun. And we've got stuff to say about all of them. And I guess, yeah, the core of this episode is, you know, you did probably some good work. At the very least, even if it wasn't hard, it was fun and it was cool. And it is a shame how much prep, just in general, sometimes goes to waste on the part of Game Masters and Dungeon Masters.
Because we've talked before about, like, oh, how much prep should you do, and, like, best practices for making your prep efficient and, like, you know, cutting down the waste. But there's always going to be some.
Yeah.
And, you know, recycle till you die, baby. We in the 21st century where all resources are finite.
Yep. So, you know, you need to improve the efficiency of your recycling system, all recycling system, including ideas.
So note-taking, right? I don't know if we've ever really hit this one. Like, it's definitely been somewhere in our outlines and episodes before.
I think in general we're pro note-taking.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also anti bossing people around. So we haven't said, like, take notes like this before.
Which is fine, because we're not actually going to tell you exactly how to take notes. No. But, so, you're a GM, you're coming up with the session that you're going to run tomorrow. Or, if you're insane, that day. Which I've done before, it's not that insane.
I've done it too. It's very doable, but I think it's more fun to spend time.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on,
you know, doing stuff ahead.
It depends on the session, right? If it's like a one-shot goof with, like, your friends, you probably don't really, you know, need to spend a week preparing.
Right.
Right. But if it's like you're getting paid for it, you know, maybe spend a little more time preparing. Don't know what that's like, though.
Yeah.
So just write your ideas down that so you can access them later. We've talked about, like, our personal Game Master, you know, style of note-taking and, like,
prep stuff
for a session. So, like, you know, oh, do you have each encounter written out in full, or do you just kind of have a bulleted list of the possible encounters? Either one works, right? This is basically saying make sure that you write down ideas. Don't have to do it beforehand either. Mm-hmm. If you come up with an idea during the session, and then, like, write it down, because if that idea doesn't come to fruition, then you have it written down so you can come back to it later.
Or if it inspired a cool idea for something later, you know. you can write down the thing after the fact. It's not an imperative that you have it ahead of time.
Right.
We're advocating, for the purpose of everything else we're going to talk about this episode, we're advocating to, you know, have some sort of notes about... Right,
that you can go back to.
Yeah.
Right, because this is all about recycling ideas, coming back to them at a later point.
Right. And then for like, ongoing adventures, this extends to, you know, some sort of record on your part, and better written down than just in your memory, in your imagination, in your brain, better written down the choices and paths that your party has taken. Because what that'll do, if you're just doing your best to remember what happened last session, you can get by doing that, but what you're going to find, I think, that vanishes is the things that didn't happen.
Right, like, and when you try to recycle,
yeah,
you're going to end up with, like, oh, you're fuck. Like,
oh, well, they didn't go this way, and I kind of forget what I had planned for that way anyway, because they didn't go there, so I didn't do it. So, some... apologies. Some notation about, like, well, they went left here.
Mm-hmm.
And down the right-hand path, I had this. You know. They didn't see it. They didn't touch it. They're never going to see your notes, ideally, until the very end, maybe. But if you don't, if you're just like, okay, they went left and this happened, and you ignore the possibilities of down the other path, you are going to forget them. Just as surely as your players don't know them, because they never experienced them, it's going to fall out of your brain, too. So, some sort of record of that.
If you have time and the wants, and like we kind of do it on habit now because of we're creators, we have Afterlife, our original role playing.
Check it out on DriveThruRPG.
So we've got a lot of practice in writing, so a stranger can read it.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to like write something down to remember it later, because like, if you write down a shorthand of, like, sticky baby bomb.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
You know, 2 months you later.
Forget that. Fuck.
Sticky baby bomb?
That's some nonsense on my page. And this is a time where, I'm going to fly in the face a little bit of how we've talked about note-taking and prep before. And been like, well, you got to find what's right for you. A lot of people have, you know, some good note-taking shorthand for themselves, this sort of thing. But I really do advocate for this idea, because a lot of times we will go weeks between recording and we will have ideas and we've gotten better about this and we try and write this way, but then we'll see something where we're like, what the fuck does that mean? Is that just a typo? Is that... you know, and...
For example, for this outline, when we came back to actually write the outline after we had the idea weeks ago, one of the notes was...
Dead spin arrival.
What the fuck does that mean?
If y'all know, hit up the Discord. But we think maybe it was a typo when we're talking about, like, when an idea is dead on arrival, like, the players, I don't know, it's just nothing. But I'm not sure if that's what we meant.
Yeah.
But I don't know what dead spin arrival means, if it means anything. So the thing we try and practice is to, like, write out the whole sentence, even though we know what it means because we're sitting there writing it. Write out the whole sentence for future you,
mm-hmm.
who has imperfect memory.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll step down. That's one of the only times I think I strongly advocate for doing things a certain way.
I mean, it's just a good idea. And, like, there are no real stakes, especially if, like, you know, it's a hobby,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if you're getting paid for it, it's still really no stakes, because, like, I'm sure you can come up with an idea based on a bullet point. But I find, as Game Master, like, if I don't clearly write down an idea, it gets warped and changes in my head, and then, like, it's never as pure as like
you get to that first thought. Get to the execution of it, especially, you know, if it's been a long time. Like, it started as a bullet point of a cool idea where, you know, who cares? Doesn't matter what is going to happen. And then you make some tweaks to it along the way. You think like, oh, what if the encounter went this way? What if this happened? And yeah, if you don't continue to keep it clearly written out, you can run into a situation where, you know, you pull it off the cool new way that you had it planned. But now it doesn't lead into what you initially planned it leading into. You're like, oh, wait, shit, that doesn't work because he's not here anymore.
Or I whatever. Forgot to mention the key or whatever, right?
So that's his first session. We advocate for note-taking in general and in the, in the pursuit of not wasting good ideas, we advocate specifically that you note them somewhere in a manner that can't be misunderstood in the future.
That you can come back to months later without thinking about it once and then understand the idea.
Yeah.
So, take some notes. Now, stop taking notes and listen to us.
Yep.
And then maybe take some more notes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, reusing ideas.
Yes.
The old copy pasta, if you will, to use some internet speak. We're hip. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the same adventure. So, for example, you have something like maybe there's an intersection. Players go left and like there's some cool stuff down the right turn, but they didn't take that turn. Doesn't mean that it's like just poofed into the ether, it's gone forever. You still have like, you know, maybe it's a piece of loot.
Yeah.
Or an encounter.
Yeah. A message written on the wall, whatever. That's an interesting thing. An interesting aspect of game design from the point of view of pen and paper game masters. In this example, I think the example that's coming to mind here is like a dungeon, right? Corridors and rooms, branching paths.
Yeah.
What is behind each door is not necessarily a fixed thing, and it can change based on where your players go. You know, to them, it feels like a real place with, you know, things behind each door.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the nature of this medium, you can change what's behind any door at any time before they go through it.
Right.
So, like I guess that's essentially what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Like a deck of cards, or, you know, any random chance, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's any method of...
The result isn't set in stone until that card is actually pulled, is what I was trying to get at, right? So, because of that, you can easily...
I think, actually, I hate the example of a deck of cards because it's not fucking true. There is... Just because you can't see it, that order actually is set in stone.
Yeah, but it's not because you don't know it. Because
you don't know, from our perspective. Schroeder, but it's not...
Soapy's cat, man. Soapy's cat situation. Is the cat dead or alive?
But it's not the same... It's not the same as a dice, which the chances... reset every time it rolls.
It is practically the same. In practice, it is the same.
Yes, in practice, but also it's not fucking true. There is an order.
All right, man. You got me. What was I saying?
You can't see it. I don't know. I distracted.
Thanks.
I don't like cards very much. I don't like playing cards. I never have. And I...
That's because he doesn't know about the heart of the cards, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's a different thing. I like trading cards. Trading cards have cool monsters on them. I don't like playing cards. And I've always been really reluctant to try like indie role-playing games where they use a deck of cards instead of dice as the as the random generation. But
okay, so I think it's like a deck of cards because you don't know what the card you're going to draw is, right? And just because you don't draw an ace doesn't mean there's not an ace later in the deck.
Yep.
Right? So, I'm right. The point is, you can copy and paste stuff that your players didn't get to in that session and just, like, immediately, you know, put it in front of them. Like, what do they call that? I don't know, like a log portage where you have, like, six logs and you're rolling the boat along it and you pick up the last log and you move it in front and then you pick up the last log and you move it in front. So you can kind of play a little portage game. Is that analogy better, sir?
No, actually, okay. I think the cards was better.
All right. Fuck me. So,
all right, we're getting in the weeds.
Yeah. Because your players don't know what they missed.
Right.
Right.
So you can take it like a Lego block and put it somewhere else in the big Lego construction that is your adventure. You can take it off of where you were going to use it and put it somewhere else. Maybe with a little bit of adjustment, we'll talk about.
Yeah.
You know.
And that might seem like there's not a net gain, right? Because, like, say you as a game master decided 10 encounters, right? And some of those are, like, optional, but there is a, like, critical path. Right, so you still had to come up with 10 encounters. So if you moved an encounter they skipped, you know, it doesn't take away an encounter. It doesn't go back in time and, like, help you. And so now you only have to come up with 9 encounters because I'm just going to reuse this encounter.
Right.
But it's all about moving it forward. It's all about paying it forward. Which is the next thing we're going to talk about. So, like, reusing your ideas in a different adventure or session.
Mm-hmm.
So you come up with 10 ideas. You think idea 2 is really cool. So you make that happen in session 1. Like, they skipped it, but, like, you just put it in front of them. Well, then, like, you know, you still have, say, 8 ideas that you can repurpose. And I know that math doesn't really be mathin', but come on, man. Work with me here.
Yeah. The using it in a different adventure can require a little bit more work, though. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I mean, that, we were kind of just using it in a different session.
Yeah, okay.
So kind of the bridging of the gap. Right.
You can push it. Yeah, you can push it to later and not lose it, essentially, is the point. But you do still gotta think about, like, what your players accomplished in between. If you're like, well, this is still really cool and I do want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to say, you know, is rescue a guy and he's got, like, a note on him. You might need to change the text of the note. Mm-hmm. If you were trying to, like, deliver some...
Or change the method of delivery.
Yeah, change the method of delivery. You know, maybe it's written on the wall in the encounter that you had planned, and they were going to, like, walk through it, and, like, oh, okay, that's a clue for something later. Well, maybe they've moved past the way that would have been useful.
Right, now it's a note in, like, an dead adventurer's journal that's, yeah, like, I found this inscription on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. And so, like, the players
and
are like,
and maybe a little bit of extra information, right? Now. It's like, it's more information than they would have had if they'd found it in the first room, but they didn't go that way. So now, you know, they're getting it again somewhere else with maybe a little bit, maybe the second clue already tacked onto it.
Yeah.
Because they're a little bit further on. And you still want them to, like, follow the clues and pursue whatever it's going to lead to. Treasure, a boss fight, whatever. But you might need to just, like, tweak what it is. When you take it away from behind that closed door that they never opened. And so, yeah, like,
oh,
a deck of cards.
Now we're doing the Montreal, the shit. Montreal problem. It's not that. Monty Hall problem. Yeah. No. But I get what you're saying. So you can repurpose the original idea and make it seem new if you put like an extra layer on that shit.
Or turn it sideways in some way that that fits better with where they are in the moment that they do open that door. Because that's, you know, going back to like the things that are unique about game design in this medium, game design for game masters, is that you can change all that up until the moment that they do open the door.
And even if they like take a peep through like, say, the peephole of the door, they only get a very thin sliver. So like, I mean, the example we were using, well, kind of spoils an upcoming episode idea. I mean, you know, you're going to hear about it anyways. Anyways, a courtroom thing, right? Your players are involved in a courtroom battle. And they, like, choose to disengage. And it's like, oh, well, we're not going to be arrested for this, so we run away. Right? Well, now they are wanted criminals, so... You as the game master had planned this whole like courtroom trial.
Say you thought that was going to be fun. You were going to have them like they're going to have to stand before the mayor of this town in a council and be judged for the events that, you know, took place. Maybe accused of something, all right? And they're like, and "Yeah, we don't want to fucking deal with this. We're not going to participate in that." They exercise their freedom as, you know, characters in a role-playing game where you should be able to do a lot of different stuff and think and act laterally, and they just skip what you thought was going to be a fun thing.
Well, you don't need to throw it away. Right? You can just add to it.
You can raise the stakes on it.
Raise the stakes. You're like, now you're in a lot more trouble. Because you ran away.
So in addition to this problem that you guys were implicated in or someone witnessed and, like, accused you of or whatever, you know, you ran from the city watch and you skipped town. And so now I'm still going to get you in the courtroom, but it's going to be, like, a higher court. Now it's, like, the king and the stakes are even higher and potentially sillier, but, you know. You can still reuse the idea of that session or that encounter, whatever, you know, the thing behind the door.
Change you already made it.
You already made it, so don't throw it away. Write down what was cool about it. Put it away for later. And maybe add to it.
You know, or change it. Keep it in your pocket. You know, half the work's already, or I would say even two-thirds of the work are already done. And that reduces waste. Reuse and reduce and reuse. Now, if you can't find a way to rotate it and make it fit in like the same adventure and setting, you can always keep that idea. And with a little bit of work, you can repurpose that for a different setting, a different adventure, a different group of people. And actually, I can't believe I didn't think about talking about this when we were doing the outline. Like, I have run two campaigns in the same setting at the same time, right, with different groups of people. And that was extremely cool because I didn't have to do two times the work to run two different groups of people. I had to do about, like, 1.1% more work. 1.1 times more work. You know, like 10% extra work just to rotate it
to
a
be able
little
to
bit.
Run twice as much content. Because there's a handful of options usually at any given point in a role-playing adventure. There's different ways to handle different types of scenarios and encounters, and so running the same thing for two different groups, either concurrently or after, you can reuse that stuff. And, you know, just they'll go to different things. They'll make different path choices, or see things different things at different times.
You also get the chance to like improve on it. And like, oh, okay, so this encounter was pretty cool, but like, like, you know what I need to do is I need to set it up a little bit differently. Like, you know, oh, they walk into the room, and they see something. The second time the players see something that the first players didn't, and like that makes it, you know, solve the puzzle much more enjoyable or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You get that second crack at things, which can be a real awesome experience, you know, because that's kind of a bummer about role-playing games is it's hard to improve on something you've already done because it's like it's been done.
Yeah. Right? You don't often get a chance to like run it back and you know, reset and try that play again.
Yeah.
Sports, you know. But if you, you know, if you use this method, you might find yourself in a situation where you can. And then yeah, you might improve as a game master in the way that you deliver the experience and the experience that you give to your players can also improve.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tangibly see that in the difference between, you know, two versions of the same encounter.
Yeah. I'm going to resist the urge to get too into the weeds because we're not talking about this. And then, like, because I was about to boil it down and being like, you know, actually, there's only, like, really, like, three types of combat encounters, and so it's just a bunch of repeats, reskins. We're not going to go there. But I want you to know, like, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, different types of missions.
Yeah,
there's, like, five types of missions to, you know.
Move on and talk about reusing ideas in a different adventure slash, like, setting.
Right. So the core of this stays mostly the same. You come up with cool stuff.
Which can be hard sometimes.
Yeah, and take some work. And ideally, you keep some record of it so that it doesn't go to waste, right? And then, I don't know, it never fits in somewhere else. Or a thing ends. You're like, well, but I still had this cool idea. I had this cool bad guy. I had this cool room in a dungeon. I had this cool setup for an encounter that I thought would, you know, challenge and delight my players. Okay. But I can't use it because this adventure's done. Or it was never going to fit there anyway. Whatever. So, reusing it is essentially the same, but you got to do a little bit extra.
You got to put on that, like, extra spin, you know, a reskin, if you will.
So we called it sanding off the details. That's how you start. So you take this thing. Say it's a, you know,
bad guy.
A bad guy is a really good one. Because a lot of stuff reskinned translates really well between, like, Western or fantasy or sci-fi. So you could take, like, if you're playing a sci-fi, you know, space adventure, a Star Wars type thing, and you had a bounty hunter type character who you wanted to be after the players, you wanted to be menacing them. Well, so you sand off the details from that, right? You sand off his laser gun, what, you know, his fancy, stupid armor.
You're just doing the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
now.
A little bit. So you sand that stuff off, right? And what do you have? You know, you have a character with his motivation, which is probably financial. That's what most bounty hunters are when they're bad guys. But maybe he's got something else going on. You could keep that. If he's got, you know, well, I have to bounty hunt because I take care of these orphan kids, and then it's interesting and complicated. You don't have to throw that away because that's the drama at the core of it. But you just, you know, get rid of his clothes and his weapons and put him in your next fantasy adventure. It's not that different once you sand those details off and you're left with, like, what is the dramatic heart of this idea?
Right, because that's what...
put a different skin on.
That's what the idea is, right? Like, it is the core, right? Take this bounty hunter example, right? This bounty hunter, he bounty hunts, or she bounty hunts, because they were orphaned, and they grew up in an orphanage, and now, you know, they're trying to support that orphanage, so they got to make the monies.
Yeah.
Right?
That's story... That's a cool character idea.
Can be
and a fun
anything,
bad guy.
Right?
Anywhere.
That is anywhere, anything, right? Change some of the specifics, right? So like, oh, this bounty hunter was orphaned because like an asteroid destroyed his parents' space station. Right? Okay. Well, we're doing a Western, so that doesn't really work. Right. But I don't know, like the mining camp blew up because of, you know, bad explosive safety.
His parents died in a in a mining accident. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now he's an orphan.
Still an orphan.
The only way he could make his way was to...
Still grew up in an orphanage, you know, still wants to protect that orphanage, bounty hunts for money.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Works in a Western, works in a samurai-type setting, works in a classic fantasy.
Fantasy, sure.
And you just, you're just, like, taking away his laser gun and giving him a sword. Or, you know, giving him a cool hat and a six-gun. And that, you know... Those parts can seem really important, and I think that's why this is worth talking about. Because you might throw away an idea like this because you're like, oh, like the Boba Fett type character is really cool, and you think he's really cool because of, you know, the way his armor looks, and he has a nifty little half cape and some gadgets. But is that actually what makes a character like that cool or dramatic when the players interact with him? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Even if you think that, like, oh man, I didn't really go this deep, guys. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? You did, because these ideas, you might not have recognized that you put these, like, nuggets in there, but, like, you did. Because even if you didn't write them down, which is why you take good notes, you're still thinking, I mean, I guess blanket statements are kind of bad, but I challenge you, Game Masters, to prove me wrong on this, that even if it doesn't seem like there's these deep nuggets that are like genre amorphic or whatever, ambiguous.
Yeah, or transcending of genre.
You did, right? Because even if you're like, yeah, my bounty hunter is Boba Fett, and that's as deep as it goes. It's like, okay, well, like, is it literally Boba Fett? Because if it is, then, like, Boba Fett's got some fucking, you know, deep nuggets in there that you can transport to a fantasy, to a, you know, apocalyptic thing. You can transport it to anywhere.
Right. And that it might seem like the hardest thing to do, to destroy what on the surface might seem like the most important about part about it, but I don't think that stuff is the important part about this idea. Let's do a different one. Do you have a different one that's not a character?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's technically a character, like a monster, like a encounter with a monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got one.
Okay.
And this might not hit for everybody, but we'll explain it, and then it will. There's a great scene in, I think it's book 3 of A Song of Ice and Fire, when Arya and the Hound are traveling together before she leaves to go start assassin training. And it was in the show, too, but I don't think it carried as well in the show. There's a really, really tense scene where they, like, go into a tavern. And at first it's kind of normal, but then, like, oh, they recognize some of the people there. And then the people there start to recognize the Hound. And it goes from this, like, well, we needed to stop here and get to some supplies, to, like, we're going to die here unless everyone else dies here type of situation. And that tense, really tense social encounter that elevates to, you know, both parties being backed into a corner and then erupts into violence. That, if say you
that
wanted
to... That can be reskinned. Yeah,
you wanted to do something like that in your Western adventure, right? Like, oh, in a saloon, and he walks in, and he, like, kind of recognizes somebody, but that guy leaves. And then, you know, your party is like, oh, hang on, we're recognizing a lot of these people. Oh, we're surrounded. Like, this is going to happen here. And that is that's the encounter that you wanted to do, and you didn't get to for whatever reason. And now you're playing, a fantasy. Well, the example I'm using is from a fantasy novel with swords. And, you know, they don't draw their six guns, but they, you know, they pull knives and swords and they kick the tables over and they kill each other. The important thing is not whether it's a fantasy tavern and they kill each other with swords and knives, or it's a space station cantina and they shoot each other with laser beams. You get rid of that shit. That's details. Even though it feels like the most important part when you're coming up with the idea, you shave that away, you get at the dramatic heart of the situation, and then, you know, you can put it in any adventure.
Right, because when you look at it from a storytelling device, it's very agnostic. I think the hardest thing in that scenario would be appropriating, I don't know if that's the right word, the correct motivations, right? So, like, that scene works because, like, the Hound and the Mountain's goons are kind of on the same side, but not really. And then, like, you know, there's a lot of personal beef in there. So, like, that is the part that would require the most work to, like, reskin it, is just getting the motivations right.
Yeah, you would still need to hit those nuggets. Because you can't do that early on in a story. You have to build up to that by having them, you know, meet NPCs and, you know, teach your players that these are bad guys, or give them reasons to hate each other, even if they're not actually bad, whatever. Yeah, it would take a lot of work. But doing that and setting up that, yeah, that tense social situation that has no other resolution but violence, that's the important part.
Yeah.
Not whether it's six guns or samurai swords, right?
Right. Or even if it's in a tavern at all, it could be at a crossroads on the paths, and like you pop a camp and like another group also pops a camp, and like you guys are kind of like, you know, looking at each other and being like, oh shit.
I think we recognize each other.
I think I know those people.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they know that we've got the thing in our bag. They know we've got, oh shit, the treasure.
Yeah.
There's no way we could not be the ones with the treasure, and they figured that out, type of thing.
Right. So yeah, it doesn't even have to be in a tavern. Right. Those nuggets of a, not necessarily enemies, but because of the situation, you are enemies, and like, you know, both recognizing that at the same time, and a, you know, kill or be killed situation, it can manifest in many different ways.
Yeah.
Right. But those story tugging nuggets, those storytelling nuggets, tuggy nuggets. Hell yeah. Can be, you know, repurposed for later. All right. So we talked a lot about repurposing stuff, reskinning it, sanding off the details, reusing it in the same adventure, different adventures. All that stuff, it's not going to work, right? It's either, you know, too much work to reskin it, or it doesn't fit right, or just like you've kind of moved on. Almost for certain this idea is dead. Wrong. There's a third thing you can do.
Yeah.
You can turn that, whatever it was, into lore.
Yeah.
Right? Cool idea that never got played, is never going to get played because just like the situation does not allow it.
Yeah. You turn it into something that happened somewhere else to somebody else, or that somebody else did, or just, you know, whatever. In that same, in the setting for your players, and then you give it to them a different way. There's other ways for your players to be exposed to it besides playing whatever the encounter is, or meeting the guy, or whatever.
Right. It can also be canon, and then like you can go listen to our episode about
where we lore versus about canon, the definitions of those things.
Because it can be both. But anyways, whether it's lore or canon, it's something that doesn't go away, but the players never actually play it. I think that's a very valid way to recycle your ideas. Because it sets up, well, it doesn't necessarily set up, but it makes it feel like the world is more robust, and like stuff is happening around the characters, whether they're party to it or not, mm-hmm. you know, which is a, you know, a real life thing. So, like, it kind of makes it seem a little more real.
Mm-hmm. And you could, so, some ways that you could, you had a cool idea for an encounter, a, you know, a combat encounter, or a cool idea where, you know, someone in your party had the opportunity to find a clue. You can have them hear about it happening mm-hmm. on, like, a, you know, a radio newscast. Or, you know, maybe in the process of exploring this, like, post-apocalyptic lab, they watch some old security footage. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the cool idea that you had, you can present it to them in a sort of sideways way, where they don't actually play it, but they're able to still react to it.
Right, and like,
consider it in their role play.
For example, you're in an old West town, and you're pushing the players towards, like, this gunfight at the OK Corral, right? Like, shit gonna pop off at the OK Corral. And then your players are like, you know what? Actually, shit's getting a little too hot in town.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
maybe we're already wanted or whatever.
Let's bug out, you know, and do.
I've got a treasure map. We could go do this.
Yeah, let's go do the treasure map, right? And you're like, okay, well, fuck. I did, like, all this work. I set up all these guys, and mm-hmm. like, you know, there was gonna be a big gunfight. Players go off on a treasure hunt. The gunfight still happens anyways. The next time they come back to the town, if they even do. Oh, fuck, you guys really missed a fucking dinger. The OK Corral went off.
Other towns, in yeah. like, the next town they go mm-hmm. to, because they spent, you know, they spent a couple weeks out in the hills
right. trying to get the treasure map. Everybody knows about the OK Corral.
That's all anyone's talking about, mm-hmm. is this thing that happened that you guys just missed. They're like, oh, fuck. And, you know, then you can spin out from there into a bunch of different ways where it either does or doesn't affect the
mm-hmm. yeah, and
the,
it can the have
rest
no,
of the adventure.
No effect on the adventure after that, but it's just like a cool moment yeah, that like you get to tell your players about.
Because for sure I wanted to do it, and you know what? It can still be cool. It just like it happened off screen and my players hear about it instead. Mm-hmm. And then it still serves you, the game master, in the same way for developing the rest of the
right.
campaign or adventure. And
because it's nice to like get that release too. And so like we talked about like, you know, using these strategies to make sure your like prep work isn't wasted, but like another benefit of repurposing your ideas is like you just get them out of your head. Like you can stop thinking about them. You can yeah. be like, oh well, like how am I gonna do this gunfight and like, you know, all this stuff. It's like, you know what, my players aren't getting to it fast enough or whatever, and like they're off doing a treasure hunt, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
The OK Corral gunfight goes off, and like now I can move on to something else because mm-hmm. I was taking up too much, you know, memory in my brain.
Right. And it was just, you know, deep in the immersion when everyone's talking about this thing, they're like, oh yeah, we were kind of there, but we left before it popped off. Mm-hmm. What happened? Now they're talking. Right.
Which is where your notes come in, because then you can tell them exactly what happens the way you wanted it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wrote it down.
Yeah, and you get to decide now, since they didn't want to do it.
Or, you know, we're too busy doing other stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Don't have to be that salty.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's because they didn't want to do it.
And if you thought that was still, you know, really important, you can do both things. Later on, you can push them into
gunfight.
A similar situation.
Yeah.
And it might carry a little bit more
that
weight.
That will teach them.
It'll be, you know, different ways, so you can do both things. You can do the, you know, copy and paste, use it again later mm-hmm. thing, and also we're like, well, it happened off screen to somebody else, and maybe it affects, you know, how some of those characters think and behave as they, you know, hear the story about it or the rumors about it, or like, oh, I know someone who died there. And then if you want, you can also just do it again to them, and maybe don't give them an exit this time if you really want it to happen. You can do yeah. all three things.
You can do all three things.
In the same, not necessarily in the same, like, adventure session.
Oh, chances yeah. are, though, if you make it part of the lore, right, like, and, like, tell them that they missed this big gunfight that, like, really popped off,
mm-hmm.
they're probably going to want to do
they're gonna
the next
be like,
one.
Hmm. what about a big gunfight?
Yeah, they'll probably be like, wait a second, guys. We're in Kansas City. Yeah. And, like, I feel like
and the next a time similar... a tumbleweed blows across the main street at high noon, they might be like,
Shit, that's what happened last time when we left. So, like, maybe let's stick around this
time.
Maybe
there's a gunfight to get into here. And, you know, it'll be fun.
Recap?
Is that about it? I think so. Okay. We talked a lot about note-taking. A lot of this doesn't work if you don't keep some sort of record. And I think our main thing that we wanted to drive home was that you might forget later on, especially if you take no notes for sure. Or if you just use, you know, some kind of shorthand. So write it so that someone with no memory of it can understand what you mean. Otherwise, you might lose it forever, and that'd be a shame. The whole point of this is to
not lose that idea.
Yeah, not waste good ideas. We talked about the cut and paste. You know, players don't interact with it. Remove it from where it was going to be. They never opened that door, so it could be anything behind that door.
Mm-hmm.
Put it somewhere else later. You might need to change it a little bit. We also talked about sanding off the details of genre and setting and getting down to the
storytelling nuggets.
The nugget of what is dramatic and cool about the idea, and then you can use it anywhere in a different campaign, a different world, a different genre. And
you
again,
probably
you don't
have
to
those
waste
nuggets.
The idea.
You have those nuggets, whether or not you realize them or not.
Right. Maybe that's not how you approach the designing encounters process. Maybe that's not your writing process, but
they're there underneath the sand.
If you think about it and consider the inspirations that got you to that idea, there is a dramatic nugget at the core of the idea and the trappings of sci-fi or fantasy or Western. You can lose those and still use the good idea somewhere else. And then we talked about, well, turn it into something else. Make it a thing that happened in the world. Make it some lore. The players can hear about it. They can think about it. They can still sort of participate in it that way. But, you know, it was a cool idea and you wanted it to happen, but they weren't there for it. Just do it that way. And there's other ways for you to deliver it to them besides them having to play it.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause then you get that release of, you know, doing the idea. And it's not, I didn't waste it.
Pirates reference. Okay. I think that'll about do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you like what you hear, head on over to 2hgm.com where we've got some stuff.
We mentioned it in the beginning of the episode, Afterlife. Post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing. It is our original rule system and setting, available now at drivethroughrpg.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ad for it on our website. I'll take you right to it. You can buy the print copy and get the PDF for free, or you can just buy the PDF. Is cool too, whatever.
It is. We also have some other stuff there. Link to our Patreon first and foremost, probably.
I hope so.
Join the Patreon. You get to hang out with us on Discord, participate in some live events, and just chat. We're on Discord. Fucking around. Making dumb jokes sometimes.
Yeah.
We got anything else?
No, I do have a question, though. How many of our listeners are still tuned in at this point, right? Because, like... it's pretty much the same stuff every time at this point.
Oh, and then they leave.
Right, and then
are you thinking we should change it up, or we should do weird stuff here and see if anyone catches it?
I'm thinking doing weird.
We should put
weird stuff here
at the end of the episode where they're like, "All right, I've heard the episode."
Right, and like I don't need to, you know, listen to the minute long, you know. Oh, thanks to the Burning Saviors. Well, thank you to the Burning Saviors.
Thank you to the Burning Saviors. Obviously, we got to say that.
But then, like you know, they probably just click next episode, right?
Hmm. We'll have to come up with some cool stuff to do.
Next time. See you next time.
See ya.